don't want to prolong the meeting tonight. I believe that the stage is set for the preaching of God's word. And with that being said, I ask that you turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jonah, chapter number 3. Jonah chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse number 1 in just a moment. Now, I'm going to give you just a little extra time to get there because you might not have been there in a while. Somebody say, where is it? It's in the Old Testament somewhere. Jonah chapter 3. Begin reading at verse number 1 in just a moment. Now, the book of Jonah is named after its central character, the prophet Jonah. And it is considered to be one of the most evangelistic books in all of the Bible. And in Jonah chapter number 3, we find what some has referred to as one of the greatest revivals, and I'm not sure whether or not it was a revival, but one of the greatest moves of God in human history. And in Jonah chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great journey of 3 days, a exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Look with me again at verse number 5 in this chapter, Jonah chapter 3. At the top of verse number 5, the Bible says the people of Nineveh believed God. The people of Nineveh believed God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for this time and thank you for the reminder and song of thy great love for us, dear God. Thy measureless love for us. Thank you that there's never been a time that you haven't loved us, dear God. And that there's nothing we could do to change thy love for us, oh God. Help us to embrace thy love, dear God. Help us to love you because you first loved us, dear God. And Lord, I pray and ask that you would meet with us tonight, dear God, by the person of thy spirit. Lord, speak to me, dear God, through me, to us, dear God. Help me to be a spirit-filled preacher. Help thy people to be spirit-filled listeners, dear God. And Lord, if by chance there's someone here tonight that does not know your son, the Lord Jesus, as their personal Savior, may this be the glad evening of their salvation, dear God, before it's eternally too late. Lord, when the last amen is said, help us, Lord, to be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, in which thou art so worthy of. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Nineveh was the ancient capital city of the Assyrian Empire. It was a rather large city that contained thousands of people. However, Nineveh was a very wicked city without the knowledge and worship of the true and living God. And in the days of Jonah, the time had come. And God was on the verge of judging Nineveh because their sin had come up before the face of Almighty God. And God commissioned the prophet Jonah on two occasions. And the Bible tells us that when the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, Jonah obeyed the Lord and went into the streets of Nineveh and preached the message that God had given him to preach. Jonah preached a message declaring God's judgment, God's swift judgment upon the people of Nineveh. And in response to Jonah's alarming message, the people of Nineveh believed God and repented of their sin and turned to God for mercy. I wonder how many great cities and great nations in this day and age in which we live are on the verge of facing the wrath of God because their sin have come up before the face of Almighty God. I wonder how many beloved, how many great cities are there in our beloved America that are on the verge of experiencing the wrath of God because of the sin that has flew up in the face of Almighty God. And I want to ask you the question tonight with that in mind. What will it take? What will it take for God's people to proclaim the message of the Bible that lost sinners might believe God, repent of their sin, and turn to God for mercy? Therefore, the purpose of this message is to challenge God's people to proclaim the message of the Bible that lost sinners might believe God, repent of their sin, and turn to God for mercy. Now, as we take a closer look at this particular chapter of the Bible, I want you to notice, first of all, the preaching of Jonah. The preaching of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 3, look with me at verse number 4 together. The Bible says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" So here we find that after the second commission, Jonah went into the city of Nineveh, and he preached the message that God had given him to proclaim. Now, this is not the point that I'm trying to make. I don't know about you. I'm glad that our God is a God of second chances. Because too many times since I've been saved, I have failed to do the bidding that God has given me to do. Yet our God, being the merciful God that he is, that's right, the loving God that he is, has given me a second chance, and if not a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and no doubt a long line of opportunities to get it right. A long line of opportunities to do what God has given me to do. How about you tonight? As we think about the preaching of Jonah, understand that Jonah preached a short, clear, powerful message in the streets of Nineveh. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That number 40, if you study it out in the Bible, it's a number of punishment or judgment, if you will. God sent the prophet to tell the citizens of Nineveh that, hey, in 40 days, I'm on the verge of bringing my wrath against you. I'm on the verge of judging you because of your sin. Watch this now. Too many times in this day and age in which we live, there are preachers who like to present God as if he's some big Santa Claus upstairs. As if God, watch this, as if God is okay with the sin of mankind. Can I tell you something? Our God, yes, he's a God of love, but our God is a God of wrath who cannot allow sin to go unpunished. God sent his servant with one of those sentence sermons. 8 words, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, you got to hang in there because I got more than 8 words tonight, but I'm going to hurry up and get done. Jonah said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I don't know what it is. It must be the earpiece that's keep bringing Joel Osteen to my mind, and all those feel good messages that he and others like to preach, as if God is not a God of wrath. Our God is a God of love, yes, but he's also a God of wrath. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. And God will deal with us, America, and anybody else because of our sin. That's what we find here as we think about the preaching of Jonah. You say, hey, what does this have to do with me as a Christian in this day and age in which I live? Here it is. As Christians, we ought to proclaim the message that God has given us to proclaim. You see, for Jonah, it was a message of judgment, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But watch this now. God has also given us a message to proclaim. You know what that message is, don't you? Hey, God has given us the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to proclaim in all the world. I like what the Bible says. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me help with something this evening. You can't tell the wrong person about Jesus. Yeah, man. But here's the question. Here's the question. How well are we doing in getting the gospel out? Come on now. You see, the business of the church is world evangelism. The business of the church is soul winning. The business of the church is getting the gospel out. And I ask you, Bible Way, as a whole, and I ask you, dear Christian, as an individual, how well are you doing in terms of getting the gospel out? See, I'm mindful of what one of my brothers told me this morning. Where he at? He's an older gentleman. I don't think that's him right there because he might not think he old. But it was an older man. He told me this morning. He came up to me. He was preaching to me, too, after the service. He say, see, young man, you're right. He say, the problem is not with the White House. He say, the problem ain't even with the schoolhouse. He say, the problem is with God's house. And I said, amen, brother. You say, hey, what Pastor say that was Brother Joe. You say, what Brother Joe mean by that? Here's what I believe Brother Joe mean. See, a lot of times, as Christians, and I say this generally, again, I don't know you personally, we like to talk about the problems of the world. Man, let me help with something. Lost folk going to be lost folk, and that's all lost folk going to be. The problem ain't with lost people. The problem is with God's people and our failure to obey God and get the gospel out as we ought to. Yeah, man. I think that's what Brother Joe was hitting on. That's what Brother Joe was hitting on. We got the message. We got the truth. But how faithful are we in obeying God and proclaiming the message that God has given us to proclaim? See, watch this. We ought not expect lost people to believe God if we're not faithfully proclaiming the word of God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hey, you ought not expect your lost family member to get saved if you don't have the courage enough to tell them about Jesus. You ought not expect your coworker or your classmates to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you don't have the heart to tell them about Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you what done happened amongst a lot of Christians, Pastor Rick. We done got so politically correct. We think it's wrong for us to talk to people about Jesus. Yeah, man. I overheard somebody the other day. I'm telling you, they rubbed me the wrong way. I could have preached for another 3 hours with what he said. He was on the verge of, he's on the verge of attaining his college education. I said education. I know it's education. And I guess his education is puffed him up just a little bit. And he had the audacity to say around the campfire, you know how it is after you done preached all week, you have a campfire meeting. And he just showed up on the last night of the meeting, and all of a sudden he gonna straighten everybody out. He told those young people, he said, guys, all y'all need to do is worry about yourself. Don't be going around telling people they're going to die and go to hell and hitting them over the head with the Bible. It took all that was in me to hold my peace. I said to myself, this liberal, hey, that's the Bible. If people die without Jesus, they're going to die in their sin. We don't rejoice over it. They're going to spend their eternity in a devil's hell. I don't know statistically, but I believe that the Lord Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven. And if nothing else, he preached about a literal hell in Luke 16. Did he not? Is that right? In terms of the rich man lifting up his eyes at hell, being in torment. Hell is a real place. And we ought to have the love of God in our heart to the point where we don't want people to die and go to hell. And with that love in our heart, it ought to propel us to tell people about the Lord Jesus and his desire to save their soul from hell. You see the preaching of Jonah. And let me help with something, because a lot of times we like to excuse ourselves. We think that preaching or proclaiming the word of God is for pastors and evangelists and missionaries and whoever else. But I beg to differ. Hold your place right here. Turn with me real quick to Romans chapter 10. I don't want to get stuck on this point. I got two more after this. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 10. And look at verse number 13 and following with me. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13 as we think about the preaching of Jonah. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, this ain't the point I'm trying to make, but I joined that whosoever crowd as a 22-year-old young man there in Tallahassee, Florida. I knew that I was a sinner by the life that I was living. And God, by his Spirit, enabled me to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for my soul's salvation. As a 22-year-old young man, I got saved. And I'm saved forever. God has given me eternal life. Now, that ain't the point I'm trying to make. Let's look at verse number 14. The Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not, let me read it again. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So how can they believe on the Lord if they never heard of him? Watch this now. And how shall they hear without a what? A preacher. Now, don't misunderstand that word preacher right there. It's not necessarily talking about a preacher as in me being an evangelist preaching or Pastor Rick and being a pastor. That word preacher there is talking about a messenger of God, a proclaimer of God's word. And here's the point that I'm trying to make. If you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've been born again in the family of God, then all of us ought to be messengers of God proclaiming the word of God, and more specifically, proclaiming the gospel message. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. And watch this now. Watch this now. All of us are on a beeline to meet Jesus. One day you're going to stand before Jesus. One day I'm going to stand before Jesus. And we're going to have to give an account, I believe, first and foremost, to the life that we live since we've been saved. But I believe in the midst of all of that, we're going to have to give account to what we've done with the gospel or what we've failed to do with the gospel message. It ain't going to be before Brother Otis. It ain't going to be before Pastor Rick. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ, and watch this, none of our lame excuses going to hold up in court with Jesus. And I don't know if this is a literal thing, but if we're not careful, some of us are going to have the blood of men on our hands. Because God has been tugging at your heart like he tugs at my heart to be a witness. And too many times, we act like Jonah, and we don't do it. Amen. 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 The preaching of Jonah. But not only do we see the preaching of Jonah, let me give you a second thing. Notice the penitent Nineveh. Turn back with me to Jonah chapter 3, and let's look at verse number five together as we think about this second point, the penitent Nineveh. In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5, listen to what the Bible says. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Can I tell you what happened? When the people of Nineveh heard the preaching of Jonah, the Bible says in verse 5 that they believed God and they repented of their sin. They turned from their evil, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus confirmed this to be an actual account that took place that we're reading here. You say, what are you talking about? Hold your place right here real quick now and turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12 and let's look at verse number 41 together. And you'll find out that the Lord Jesus used this story right here to condemn the religious leaders of his day as we think about the penitent Nineveh. And Matthew chapter 12, if you're there with me at verse number 41, look along. Listen to what the Bible says. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. The Bible says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Watch this now. Why, Lord? Because they repented at the preaching of who? Jonah. The Lord Jesus said, hey! When the Ninevites heard the message that God had given Jonah to proclaim, they repented at his preaching. In other words, they turned from their sin. They repented. They repented. We see the penitent Nineveh. Let me just say this before we get a little further into this. Again, the problem ain't with lost people. The problem with God people. Because watch this. There are droves of lost people. Watch this now. Right here in Kingsport, right here in your, is it Bloomingdale? Y'all call this the Bloomingdale community? There are people right now in this community in whose heart the Lord is at work. They're lost. They're lost. But like in old Zacchaeus, God is at work in their heart. And you know what they're waiting on? They're waiting on a faithful messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ to declare God's great love for them and his desire to save their wretched soul. I'm telling you, there are people all around that are ready to get saved, and they waiting on us to get right, like Nineveh was waiting on Jonah to get right, and do God's bidding. Proclaim the message that God had given to proclaim. The penitent Nineveh. Let me give you two things at this point. I'm hurrying now. I mean, I'm taking my time, but I don't want to prolong this thing. As we think about the penitent Nineveh, number one, notice the personal decision of the king of Nineveh. If you're not there, turn back with me again to Jonah chapter number 3, and I won't have you turn your Bible no more. Jonah chapter 3, and look with me at verse number 6 as we think about the personal decision of the king of Nineveh. The Bible says, "For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne." Watch this now. I like to think that the king realized that somebody from a greater throne than he is has spoken. Hey, amen. Hey, the king realized that the king of kings has sent his messenger to say, "Hey, I'm about to judge y'all if you don't get right." Hold on, we going somewhere, preacher. I might need to sit down and you come on up here and we tag team the thing and you finish it on that. Because I'm going somewhere with that. I'm going somewhere with that. Y'all ain't hearing, but I heard what he said. I'm going somewhere with that. Hold on. You just don't leave me hanging now. You make sure you shout amen once it comes together. The king, let's read it again, because I taste that little commercial there. Verse 6. "For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne." Watch this. "And he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes." Can I tell you what happened? This Gentile king, the king of Nineveh, humbled himself before the Lord. You know what he did? He got right with God. And Dr. Lee Robinson said, "Everything rise and fall on leadership." Well, you sure enough need to be up here now. Watch this. Watch this. Let's make the connection. See, Pastor Rick said, "Boy, wouldn't that be good in this country? That'd be great in this country." Watch this. Can you imagine what would happen in our beloved America if our president got right with God? Amen. Can you imagine the influence, the trickle-down effect that could take place right here in our beloved America if our president got right with God? You say, how you know the president ain't right with God? I know some of y'all, most of y'all know he ain't right with God, but let me give you my evidence. I'm being a lawyer right now. Anytime a man endorses same-sex marriage, he's not right with God. Hey, last time I checked in the book of Genesis, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Hey, God made Adam and Eve, not Eve and Evelyn. So the fact that he places his endorsement upon that abominable living before the eyes of God lets us know that he's not right with God. Anytime a man endorses the killing of the unborn, he's not right with God. And watch this now. I don't care what color he is. Black, white, or indifferent, he's not right with God. But watch this now. As we, amen, and shout hallelujah, he's not right, he's not right. But here's our responsibility. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for him. Yes, you may not agree with his politics. You may not agree with his person. But hey, respect his position. He's in a position of leadership. And because of that, we ought to pray for him. That's Bible. We ought to pray for him. We see the personal decision of the king. Notice the effect. Not only the personal decision of the king, notice the public decree of the king of Nineveh. Look at verse number 7 and following. The Bible says, "He caused it," this is the king, "and he caused it to be proclaimed and published," excuse me, "through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water." Can I tell you what the king did? The king called a time of citywide fasting. He said, "I don't want man to eat nor beast to eat. Hey, we need to humble ourselves before God as a whole." He called a time of fasting. But it didn't stop there. It's going to connect. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth." Watch this now. "And cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." See, you didn't have to tell this king that they were wicked people. And the very reason that Jonah didn't want to go and preach to him, because he knew God was merciful and he knew chances are God was going to forgive them even though they were persecuting the nation of Israel. And this king said, "Hey, let us cry mightily unto God." Not only did he call a time of citywide fasting, He called a time of citywide prayer. Let us fast and pray that God might be merciful to us. Now, I'm not the historian I ought to be, and maybe some of you can yell nay this, but I heard from a credible source that there was a time when the founding fathers of America would call times of citywide or times of fasting and prayer. And as I think about that, I believe that's a time when America was more concerned about being right with God. Amen. This king said, hey, let us fast. Let us pray. Watch his hope. Notice his hope. Look at verse number 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Can I tell you what his hope was? His hope was that God would be merciful to them. That God, in spite of their sin, that God would be merciful to the Ninevites. Number one, the preaching of Jonah. Number two, the penitent Nineveh. Let me give you a third thing. Number three, notice the pardon. The pardon of God. In Jonah chapter 3, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. Can I tell you, God pardoned Nineveh first and foremost because they believed him. They exercised faith in God and repented of their sin. God pardoned them. God forgave them of their wickedness. Let me help with something. Whatever thy sinfulness, our God is able to pardon thee. I don't know. Maybe there's someone here tonight. You're still dead in your trespassing and sin. Let me help you. God will forgive you. God will forgive you if you believe the gospel message and by faith receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Hey, whatever thy sinfulness, our God is able to pardon thee, which brings to mind our beloved America. Listen, America is not too far gone. There's still hope. Hey, if there was hope for Nineveh, there's hope for America. Amen. God can still pardon us of our sin. Watch this. As a nation, we see the pardon of God. Let me give you two things. Number one, he saw their works in verse number 10. The Bible says, and God saw their works that they turned from their evil way. Can I tell you? Nineveh agreed with God that his ways are right. Nineveh agreed with God that they were sinful people. And God saw it all. He saw their works. Now watch this. The name Nineveh carries a twofold meaning. The first meaning is agreeable. The second meaning is handsome. Think about that. Nineveh. It means agreeable and handsome. So what does that got to do with anything? Here's this. Here it is. When Nineveh agreed with God about their sin, when they believed God and repented of their sin, it looked good in the eyes of God. Does not the Bible declare that the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that turns from their sin? Even God our Father in heaven rejoices over the news of one sinner repenting of their sin. God saw their works and it looked good in his eyes. And notice what he did. Not only did, as we think about the pardon of God, not only did he see their works, number two, he repented of the evil. The Bible says, and God saw their works that they turned from their evil way. Watch this. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Can I tell you? God repented of his plan to destroy Nineveh in 40 days. And as we think about the pardon of God, here's what ought to come to mind. That's right. That song was right on point. As we think about the pardon of God, we ought to be reminded of God's great love for all people. Does not our Bible declare in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world? Yes, that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've run this little trail I'm about to run right now before in your hearing. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 18, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Amen. The Lord Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friend. The Bible declares in 1 John that God is love. Yes, how great our Father's love for us. It's a measureless love. God loves all people. God loves all people. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me ask you a question and I'm done. When did the people of Nineveh, two questions, when did the people of Nineveh believe God? You know the answer. The people of Nineveh believed God when they heard the preaching of Jonah. When God's man faithfully proclaimed the message that God gave him to proclaim, the people of Nineveh believed God and repented of their sin. Second question. When will the people of Kingsport, or as you might say, Bloomingdale, believe God? Y'all intelligent people, you know the answer. They'll believe God when you faithfully proclaim the word of God. Dear Christians, let us embrace the challenge. Let us embrace the challenge and proclaim the message of the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that lost sinners might believe God, repent of their sin, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Would you stand to your feet with your head bowed and eyes closed? Stand to your feet with head bowed, eyes closed. Again, I want to pray. I want to pray. And when I'm done, I'll turn the invitation over to Pastor Rick, and he'll proceed as the Lord leads him. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this time. And God, too many times, Lord, we have failed to obey you in this matter of getting the gospel out. I know in my own personal life there are times, too many times, where you, by thy Spirit, Lord, tug at my heart and ask me to witness and to proclaim the message, the gospel message. And too many times, dear God, I failed you. God, I pray and ask you to forgive me. And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on nobody. I'm examining my own life. And God, I pray and I ask you, God, that you'd help us, Lord, in this day and age in which we live, to not be ashamed of you, as Paul declared, to not be ashamed of the gospel, dear God. And Lord, I pray, I'm not minimizing anything you've done in the past, in and through this local New Testament church, but I pray, dear God, that you grant this thy people a new beginning about this matter of reaching lost sinners with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray and ask that you'd help us, Lord God, individually and collectively, to go in the power of thy Spirit. And Lord, faithfully proclaim the gospel message. And Lord, leaving the choice with lost sinners, whether they will receive or reject you, dear God, but help us to simply do our part. God, we do praise you and thank you. Help us, I pray, in this day and age in which we live. Lord, help us to not be the problem, dear God. Help us to be the solution. Help us to be faithful messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that lost sinners might believe you, repent of their sin, dear God, and turn to you for mercy, O God. Lord, we do praise you and thank you, knowing you can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Help us, we pray, during this time of invitation. In your name we pray. Amen.